Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is teaching the second part of his message titled, Moses' Last Counsel to His People, from the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Here we find Moses earnestly enjoining upon the consciences of his people, urging them to take seriously God's call for them to live holy in the Promised Land. It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command focused on the loving covenantal relationship God had with his people. With that command, he also gave them the consequences of their disobedience. Let's listen and learn.
So in verse 16, he urges or admonishes the people to choose the proceeding of the first choice by obeying the commandments of God. He says, "See, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and calamity, and that I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that you may live and multiply, and that Yahweh, the Lord your God, may bless you in the land where you are about to enter to possess it." And so God is urging them, choose life, choose prosperity, choose the way in which when you get at the end of the life, you can truly say, God has been good. Despite of all that has happened to me, God has been good. You can make a choice to have a merry or a life of contentment. And so God urges them, choose the first one. And he tells them how to do it. He says, here's how you do it. Love the Lord your God. Walk in his ways. Keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, that you may live and multiply, and that Yahweh your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. And so he says, first of all, you want life and prosperity? He says, love the Lord. How do you love the Lord? By keeping his commandments. He says, love the Lord. Walk in his ways, or live in a way that is consistent with the holy nature and character of God. It's in verse 16, and he goes on to say, keeping God's commandments, his statutes, and his judgments. That's in verse 16. That's the way you love God. Walking in his ways, keeping his commandments, keeping his statutes, and keeping his judgments. The way you love God is obedience to God. Amen. Deuteronomy 30 and 16 appears to be the text Jesus was alluding to in John 14, 15, when he said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He didn't say, "If you love me, get happy at church." If you love me, listen to good gospel music. You know, if you want to do that, fine, but that's not how you love God. Amen. We love God by doing what God says in his word. Amen. Jesus taught that the foremost or most important of the commands of God was to acknowledge that there was one God and then love him with all of one's being. I quote the Lord in Mark 12, 28 through 30, "And when one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, he recognized that he, Jesus, had answered them all well, and asked him, 'What is the commandment? What commandment is foremost of all?' Jesus answered, 'The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all your mind, and with all of your strength.'" Loving God is the primary ingredient in being blessed by God, or making the choice God through Moses set before when Israel said to the people of God, "See, I've set before you life and prosperity." Loving God is the way you benefit from that first option God gives us. And the way you love God is by keeping the commandments of God, by walking in the ways of God and keeping the statutes and judgments of God. Now, the problem with this principle in our culture is, way too often, It's in the culture and in the church. We want to define what the love is by which we are to love our God. The reason why the love of God is so problematic in the world and too often in the church is because we have redefined love to mean accepting any type of behavior in humans to be acceptable. Especially those behaviors and lifestyles that are clearly contrary to what God has revealed to us in His Word, that are reprehensible and abominable to God. We have redefined love to mean we accept anything the world sets before us. Anything is acceptable, and you have to say you like it, and you have to say it's all right, and that's love. LGBTQ, they've added two letters, A, I, plus, and the alphabet mafia is growing and growing and growing. See, in the world's view, saying that's acceptable is to love them. No, agreeing with that is how you send people to hell.
Somebody say amen today.
Because the Bible says those who live these types of lifestyles shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you don't inherit the kingdom of God, the only option is the kingdom of Satan. And at the end of the day, that's hell. But the world says love is just accepting everybody right where they're at. No, it's not. God does not accept you living in sin. God does not accept you living a homosexual lifestyle. God does not accept you living a lesbian lifestyle. God does not accept you from the standpoint you're running around and talking about you are transgender. No, God made you male or female. I don't know why we think God is tolerating all of this aberrant, abnormal, reprehensible, abominable behavior. He's not. The Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, a God that is angry with the wicked every day. Loving God is not being tolerant of all of this sin. Loving God is being obedient to God. And that's the road to the blessings in life. This is not love of God. What we got going today is a love for the acceptance of people and their reprehensible behaviors and lifestyles that are in clear opposition to the morality we read in the Word of God. This is not love of God. It's really loving man above God. See, you'd rather love man and say, well, that's their lifestyle, and so, hey. It's not affecting me. It affects me. Because I'm at the supermarket trying to figure out what you are. Am I lying? I don't even know. I have to ask my daughter, is that a man? What am I? I don't know whether to say thank you, ma'am, thank you, sir. I guess we're down to thank you, it. I don't know. My lifestyle doesn't affect you. Yes, it does. Amen. What I do affects everybody in this church. What you do affects everybody. Let me move on today. Amen. What we have now is love of man more than God. When you'd rather tolerate someone's sinful behavior, when God says it's sinful, your love of man is great. Well, you don't have any love of God at all. See, this is not the love of God, for it is in opposition to the instruction Moses spoke to the people of Israel as to how they were to love the Lord their God. They were to love God by, number one, walking in the ways of God. Deuteronomy 30:16, in that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your God and to do what? And to walk in his ways. Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. One of the commandments we obey to love God is to walk in God's ways. Walking in the ways of God is to think and thus live in a way that is consistent with the holy nature of God. It is consistent with God's character. It is consistent with God's ethic. It is consistent with God's morality that we clearly read in the Holy Scriptures. The choices we make in life from day to day, they must be consistent with the nature, the character, the morality, and the ethic of God in order to love God. The way we live from day to day, it must be in the ways of God. It must be consistent with the character of God, the holy nature of God, the morality of God, the ethic of God. And I'm not saying you're perfect, but I'm saying is this is the way you normally live your life. We have to live like that to love God and thus to be blessed by God. In other words, you can't go every place you want to go. You can't go to certain places in which all that is taking place there is contrary to the holy nature, character, morality, and ethic of God. We cannot keep company with certain people often in the social sense when these relationships are a hindrance to the name of Jesus and the propagation of the gospel. I realize there are benign or neutral occasions we can go to certain places with certain people, but we cannot when what is being done is not according to the ways of the Lord. It's not according to the holy nature of God. It's not according to the holy character of God. It's not according to the morality of God. It's not according to the ethic of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we can't go to Diddy type parties. Because all of this stuff is contrary to the holy nature of God. All of these, you know, they're saying they got a big list of preachers were at Diddy parties. They need to be exposed. Because you ain't had no business being there anywhere. Amen. They need to be exposed. We got to expose them. If we want to love God, we must live or walk in a way that is consistent with a biblical worldview. Consistent with the holy nature of God. Amen. Loving God means keeping the commands of God. For the text says, and that I am commanding you today to love the Lord, or Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways. And then Moses says, and keep his commandments. Commandments is the Hebrew word mitzvah. It means divine law, a divine ordinance, a divine precept. In other words, it's a law, it's an ordinance or precept that comes from God. Therefore, if one is to love the Lord, they must keep his divine laws, his divine ordinances, his divine precepts. In other words, if one is to love God, they must keep his moral law. Laws such as you shall not murder, Exodus 20 and 13. Let me stop. You would think that would be the most obvious one. That you can't just go around there killing people. Amen. You just can't go out murdering people. Now that's real clear to me. Come on. I mean, I can't get that one confused. That's real clear. I can't take my 357 Magnum that I may have on me right now, may or may not. Well. And just shoot somebody. You should not murder. If you want to love God, you shall not murder. But this nation is murdering children every day. The fires of Molech are burning. The fires of Baal are burning. And they're killing these innocent babies. And it's no big deal. I was listening the other day to He was a former abortion doctor. And they had it was a panel, and they had a lady on there. I think she had gotten an abortion. No, she was a nurse. And she said she used to work in an abortion clinic. And she said part of her job was, after the doctor did the abortion, they would put the baby in a bag. And she said part of her responsibility is she would have to count all the parts off to make sure the doctor got everything out. So she had to make sure there were two arms, two legs, two feet, two hands, kidneys, heart, everything. And she said she looked at it one day and said, how can anybody say this is not a human? And so then somebody asked a former abortion doctor, didn't you know that these were humans? And you know what he said? He said, yeah, I knew it. I just didn't care. And some of us, we're comforting ourselves by saying, I never did that. It's happening every day. And not enough of God's people are crying loud and sparing not that we can't do this. I never thought I'd see the day, but it's here. Somebody's number one platform was kill your kids. But we're here. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. That means tells lies on your neighbor. Keeping these and other divine laws of God is to love God. Keeping the commandments of God is how you love God. He says, keep God's statutes. You shall walk in his commandments and his statutes. The word statutes, it's a Hebrew word, kahukal. I think that's the way to pronounce it. It really means keeping the customs of God. One of the customs of the Jews God commanded them to keep was the Passover. This was the commemoration of God delivering the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt. The counterpart of the Jewish Passover is communion, or the Lord's Supper. This is the commemoration of the death of Christ on the cross that has delivered us from the slavery of sin. Just as in the Passover, they would slay that lamb without blemish, and they smeared that door, that blood over the doors and over the lintels. And what God say, when I see the blood covering that household, I will pass over it. And the firstborn in that house, they will not die. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Israel was to keep this Passover perpetually. And in like manner, our Passover is really communion. You know, the Lord, he was slain on the cross during the Passover season. And we are saved because God sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. It covers us. Every time we take that communion bread and that communion cup, we are being obedient to one of the customs God has given to us by command. It reminds us that we have not saved ourselves, but it was by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We didn't redeem ourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he allowed his body to be broken. He was crucified in the most cruel, vicious way possible. They stripped him nude. They jeered at him. They yelled at him. They spit on him. And he went through all of that to pay the price for our sin. And God has given us a custom to remind us of that. It is the bread and the cup. And so if you really want to really get down to it, when you participate in the communion, that is another way we love the Lord our God. It's a way we are being obedient to him. And that's the Sunday a whole lot of folks choose to take off. Then again, maybe you should. Because, you know, don't come up in here, just let me move on. being obedient to the Lord and receiving the sacrament of the ordinance communion is to love God. This is part of the significance of that custom. Great meaning, great symbolism. And I can't figure it out, but some kind of way it plays a part in our spiritual nourishment. It increases our faith. I don't believe in transubstantiation. I don't believe that the bread turned into the body of Christ and the cup turned into the blood, because the Bible says he's been sacrificed once and for all. But in some kind of way, it does something for us spiritually. And if it don't, you're going to have to explain to me why the Bible says if you don't take it in the right manner, you may get sick and you may die. But the way we love God is by keeping his commandments. Loving God is to keep his judgments. Judgment's a Hebrew word, mishpat. Mishpat, judgment, is to pronounce a divine decree in the judicial sense, including rewards and punishments. The judgments of God are those things he has pronounced from the throne in the judicial sense. Just as he's a great judge making a pronouncement, it means to decree those things, both the good and the bad. Loving God is for us to pronounce and make it verbally clear the scriptural judicial decrees of God, both good and the bad. An example of this is the decree that man is not justified or declared righteous by God only through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Romans 3:28, for we maintain that a man is justified, diakaiuo, declared innocent by faith apart from the works of the law. We are to be faithful in pronouncing that. Galatians 2:15 through 16, we are Jews by nature and not sinners from amongst the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. That is one of those decrees God has pronounced. Man is not saved by works. Peter said, one day we tried it. It was a yoke we couldn't bear. We are justified, declared righteous by God through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the pronouncement of that which is good. There are also bad decrees, bad pronouncements in the Bible. We ought to be faithful in proclaiming them. John 3:17-18. But God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in the Son is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I like the King James here. He says he who believes in the Son is not condemned or damned. He who does not believe has already been judged or already damned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You either know Jesus or you don't. The only way to be saved is through the Son. If you don't know the Son, you're not saved. You don't have life. The only way you're going to heaven is to know Jesus. Everything else is a one-way ticket to hellfire and brimstone. See, that's a bad pronouncement, but God said, obey it. That's how we love God. To pronounce Romans 10:9-10 is the pronouncement of the ultimate good from God. That if you confess in your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, leading to righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, leading to salvation. That is the pronouncement of the ultimate good. Obey it. When the opportunity comes, say it. And say aloud. Revelation 20:11-15 is the pronunciation of the ultimate bad. We have to say it too. Pronounce it. Be obedient to God. Revelation 20:11-15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sits on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. Then I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades or hell gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and hell or Hades was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We stay true to this pronouncement. We're obeying the statutes, the ordinances, the decrees of God. Loving God is to consistently pronounce the divine decrees of God, both good and the bad. Obeying the command to love the Lord our God is to walk in his ways. It is to obey his commands. It is to obey his statutes or customs. And it is to obey the pronouncements of the judgments of God. Living according to these commands, these principles, and these precepts is how you choose the first part of Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity. If you want life and you want prosperity, love God by being obedient to God. Amen. Amen. And I'm done for the day. Let's pray. Our gracious, gracious, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the word of the Lord, the word of God today. Lord, I pray that your people have heard your word. I pray that they have been spiritually nourished by your words today. Lord, continue to illuminate our minds and our hearts to your word in order that we may live according to it and be blessed by you. The gospel is Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. And he was raised from the dead on the third day. There is no gospel other than this gospel, so says Jesus. We pray that all in the room today have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ unto the salvation of their souls. Maybe there's one today and you feel so convicted in your heart, you want to give your life to Christ. We always had the altar workers here just to give you the true gospel in order that you could believe on Christ and be saved. Perhaps there's some other prayer request, other prayer need you have. And so these altar workers, that's their task, that's their ministry. And so if there is one today, would you raise your hand? Father God, we praise you and thank you for all things. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, keep all in this building safe until we return again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God, Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.